Great. Well, that's a start. Hi, everyone. I'm Jacqueline, and as Mandy said, I'm down south in Melbourne, where we're currently in a strict 6-week lockdown. So this is the perfect opportunity to be able to be inside and be a part of something like this. When I was asked to speak on this conference, my first thought was no, because I have a bit of a fear of public speaking. But my second thought was yes, because it's an amazing way to grow. I was also given the option of whether I wanted to speak on sponsorship or prayer and meditation. And, you know, I'm so passionate about both of these tools. And I almost went for prayer and meditation, but then I realized if I didn't have a sponsor, I wouldn't be practicing prayer and meditation every day. So for me, I thought it was right to speak on sponsorship. To give a little bit of a background about my story or the way I came into Al-Anon, it was in April last year, 2019, and it was exactly 1 week after I'd lost a very close family member to an alcohol and drug overdose. And it actually happened in my auntie's home while they were drinking together. And I share that with you just to, I guess, you know, give you the, I guess, picture of the dysfunction that was present in my family. When I heard that news, I really hit my rock bottom. I was already in a very fragile state. I'd lost my mum a year before that. And, you know, I wasn't talking to very many family members. I was relying on spiritually sick people, you know, for advice, to help me, and that wasn't working. I had been going to counseling on and off for a number of years, and, you know, that helped to a degree, but nothing really stuck. And, I tried a range of different other, you know, sort of modalities. I'd tried psychics, I'd tried health retreats, I'd tried, you know, just so many things to try and heal, you know, this uneasiness that was within me. So when that situation happened with my family member, I knew in that moment that I needed help. I knew that as the reading said in that Mandy just shared, you know, I didn't have all the answers anymore. I realized I didn't have the answers, and I needed to speak to people that were in a similar situation to myself. I needed to speak to people, you know, that had been affected by the disease of alcoholism. I needed to I needed people to help me on how I dealt with the dysfunction of my family. So I had actually heard of Al-Anon, a few years, prior to coming to my first meeting. And when I hit that rock bottom, I was on my bedroom floor, you know, I unknowingly was praying for an answer. And I had this voice come into my head that said, go to an Al-Anon meeting. And I now know that was God, you know, that was speaking to me. So, I got myself off to, an Al-Anon meeting, and, you know, at the end when they asked if I wanted to share on what brought me there, I explained, you know, what had happened. And this lady that was sitting next to me, she just wrote her name and number down and passed it to me on a piece of paper. And I was so touched by that because that's what I needed. I needed to talk to someone. After that meeting, I actually spoke with her straight away, and the words just came out of my mouth, will you sponsor me? because I was desperate. I knew that I couldn't just come to meetings and sit in the rooms, and I needed help right then, right there. So my experience is that I got a sponsor straight away. I rang her the very next day, and I took direction on what she suggested. I didn't start the steps with her straight away. I was in a bit of a, I guess, traumatic state at that point. So she was giving me tools to use. You know, I did get guided to start praying, to start meditating in the mornings. And I needed that. I needed that to calm my mind, because my mind, was crazy. You know, my mind was full. And I was erratic. So she also, you know, gave me some contact numbers of other fellows to call. And, you know, that's again what I needed, straight away. I had that sponsor for about 2 months, and I felt very comfortable with her. I was enjoying our relationship. We were about to get started on the steps. And then she explained to me that she had a health crisis and wasn't available to sponsor anymore. Because I am quite self-centeredness, that's, you know, a natural character defect of mine. I felt very, abandoned, and I felt very, you know, thought it was something wrong with me, not taking into consideration, you know, that it was, that, you know, she genuinely had a health, condition she needed to look after. But I was scared, you know, I'd opened my heart up a little bit to this person. It'd only been a couple of months, but I trusted her, and I was feeling, like I was, you know, just being able to put one foot in front of the other. But you know, she said to me, look, we'll find you another sponsor, and you will find someone that is, you know, an even better fit for you. So I, with a heavy heart, you know, went off to my next meeting, and I did meet someone else at that meeting who approached me afterwards, and we just had a chat. And I, when I'd heard that person share, she had something that I wanted, or the way that she shared when she was talking about the way she used to be and the way she is now, I thought, wow, you know, that sounds exactly like how I used to be, or how I am. You know, if she's been able to overcome so many, relationship issues and, you know, just other problems, like, I want to know how to be able to do that, because that's why I came to Al-Anon, is, you know, to get help. So, I sat on it for a few days. I was nervous to ask someone else to sponsor me, because, you know, I'd felt a little bit let down, from my previous sponsor. And I was nervous to, you know, take someone else, and then they abandoned me as well. But after a few days of us just chatting, over text message, and I think we had a couple of phone calls, I asked her if she was available to sponsor me, and she said yes. And, you know, we just got started straight away on the steps. And, that's exactly what I needed, because I needed to get to the solution, because I was just sitting in so much resentment, and I was sitting in so much fear, and, you know, I was just having problems with relationships, not just with family, but with colleagues, and, you know, with friends, and, you know, as step one says, you know, my life was unmanageable, and I really needed someone to guide me on how it could become manageable. So, I started this new sponsorship relationship with this person. It's really important for me, to have someone that I resonate with and that, you know, I do feel like I can trust. I know some people say a sponsor is, you know, just to guide you through the steps. But for me, I am a very sensitive soul and, I need to really be sure that, that I can trust that person, and they don't have to be my best friend by any means, but I just need to know that I'm going to be able to open up to them and, there isn't going to be any judgment from them. Because growing up, you know, in a house where alcoholism was very, prevalent, there was a lot of judgment. So, it's just important to me to have, someone that is non-judgmental. So with this sponsor, who is still my current sponsor, we started going through the steps, and, you know, the steps, they sort of scared me initially, I'll be honest, because I didn't just read step one. I'm automatically looking at like step four thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this big inventory. That sounds awful. And then I'm going to have to make amends. That sounds even worse. But you know, my sponsor just kept saying to me, just stay in the step that you're in. And that's exactly why I need a sponsor, because if I was trying to do this on my own, first and foremost, I probably wouldn't be doing the steps. And if I was, I'd be doing them totally wrong. And, I'd just be doing things my way. And, you know, my way before I came into Al-Anon, clearly wasn't working very well. So, yes, for me, just having that guidance is just, you know, it's imperative for me. My sponsor, you know, we have a, designated, weekly call. So that allows me to be, accountable, you know, to not just her, but to myself as well. And it keeps me on track. You know, if I didn't have a sponsor and I didn't have that weekly call set up, I would just take my time, doing nothing really, because one of my defects is procrastination. I love procrastinating. I love doing anything, you know, but work. And you know, things come up for me quite regularly. You know, I've been in the program for a little bit over a year, and, I am currently in step 9. Which I never thought I would get to. You know, I actually can't believe I'm in step 9. I've already made 3 amends. I've got 2 people that are waiting for me to make amends to them. So that'll be 5 amends after that. And to me, that's just remarkable, to have got this far and to just have changed in so many ways. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, there's, as they say, you know, it's progress, not perfection, but, I have just, you know, repaired some relationships, since I've been in Al-Anon. I have, you know, a beautiful spiritual practice, that I do every day. And that commences with my prayer and meditation. I attend 3 meetings a week. I do my step work. But you know, I wouldn't be able to do this all on my own. You know, I have things, like I have moments, things come up in life, and you know, when I do speak with my sponsor, she keeps me on track. You know, she helps me to see the black spots that I can't see, you know, within myself. She helps me to just, you know, see things from a different point of view. She directs me back to the literature, you know, which I can so easily forget. You know, I can read the literature, but the next day it can, you know, have gone in one ear and out the other. So I am definitely someone that needs discipline, and that's why I know having a sponsor is just so important for me. And, you know, it is a commitment as well. You know, another defect of mine is just I'm a non-committal person. Before I came into Al-Anon, I, you know, would say yes to something and I wouldn't follow through with it. You know, I run away from things. I withdraw, I avoid things. So just having this sponsor-sponsee relationship, has just allowed me to stay committed to someone, and to trust someone and to open up my heart. You know, that's what I've really felt recently, is that my heart has just felt, so much more open. And, you know, it could be from a myriad of things. It could be that I am making these amends and they're helping me to just really see, how beautiful it can be to, you know, to make a formal apology to someone. But it could also be that, you know, I'm being completely honest for the first time in my life. And, that's new for me. That's new because I never wanted to be honest, about how I truly felt. And, you know, there have been times with my sponsor, especially in step four, I'll be honest, like, you know, doing a, fearless and thorough moral inventory. Wow. You know, that's hard if you want to be really honest. For me, anyways, because there's things that I didn't want to tell her. There's things that I had stored away, you know, in the back of my mind. And I thought, oh, you know, doesn't matter if I don't say that. But God has a funny way of bringing things out of you, or perhaps speaking through your sponsor. Because that was my experience, was that, you know, when I was doing step five and sharing all these deep, dark things, you know, from my past that I never thought I would share with anyone. More and more got revealed, more and more came up. And, you know, I really felt that was God speaking through my sponsor and, yeah, just giving a little bit of bait, you know, for me to take and to open up. And it's just such a beautiful thing to do. And you know, also the benefit with that as well is having someone that can say, you know, I did that as well. Oh, I can so relate to that. Oh, I did worse. You know, I did this or this. And that I need to hear that, because, you know, I just thought there was some things that no one would have ever done, or, that I would be judged on so much. And just having a sponsor, you know, be able to relate and share their experience, that is what kept getting me through and helped me to keep being more and more honest with myself. So I'm just, sorry, looking at how much time I've got left. So yeah, look, I guess in conclusion, to wrap up, I can only share on my experience in Al-Anon of having a sponsor, because I got a sponsor straight away. It, you know, as I said to you, I didn't stick with the first sponsor. And, you know, my suggestion would be if that happens to anyone else, don't give up, like grab another sponsor. Because I feel, and with no disrespect to my first sponsor, because we still actually keep in touch from time to time, which is really beautiful. But I feel that the sponsor I have now is the one that, God really wanted me to have to get me to where I am now, which is in step nine, as I said. So, yeah, I don't know how I could have done Al-Anon without a sponsor. Quite honestly, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I probably wouldn't still be attending meetings, because as I said before, I'm a non-committal person. You know, once I think I know it all, you know, I can walk away from things thinking, yep, I've got all the self-knowledge. That's all I need. But I know with this disease of alcoholism that I suffer from, self-knowledge is not enough for me. I need to be guided. I need to put the action in. That's what my sponsor has helped me with, immensely. So, how am I going for time, Mandy? Have I still got a few minutes?
A minute.
Okay, great. Gosh, 20 minutes. It can seem like an eternity, but then it can also go so fast, can't it? Yes. So I think I'll probably end on that, but, I'm really grateful for the program so much. Especially during this time in COVID. If I didn't have a program, I would probably be on the floor crying my eyes out, having a self-pity party with me, myself and I, and, you know, just getting constantly disappointed from spiritually sick people. And, you know, having Alan on, having this fellowship with, you know, so many people from all around the world, I just feel like I've got company. I'm surrounded with, like, you know, all this love and just beautiful company. There's always a meeting to attend. There's always someone to call. And, you know, most of all, there's always my sponsor who I do reach out to, sort of outside my weekly times with her if I need to. And I'm very, very, very grateful. It's a lot cheaper than going to a counselor. Cause I spent loads of money on counselors in the past but it's a very, very special relationship. So I might just leave it there. Thank you so much for asking me to share and, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thanks everyone.
Thanks Jacqueline from Melbourne, Australia for sharing on sponsorship. That was fantastic. Next we've got Evie from Queensland. Evie's from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia, and she's also going to share on sponsorship. Can we unmute Evie, please?
She's unmuted.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You got sound and you got vision?
Where are you, Evie?
Where are you?
Can you see me?
Speak up.
Can you hear me? Can you see me?
Yes, I see you. There you are.
Right. And you've got sound as well?
There you are. Yes, we see you. We hear you. Go for it.
Hi, Evie. Hello, everyone. Feels like I'm saying, hello, world. This is just magnificent that in Australia we can be included in on this. So thank you very, very much. And the topic of sponsorship is something that, you know, I love sponsorship. I'm a big, big advocate of sponsorship. Wholeheartedly support it, encourage it. I'm sponsored and, my sponsor is sponsored and, her sponsor is sponsored. And, luckily through this, you know, weird situation that's going on now through technology, I've been able to meet the great and the great grand sponsorship line that I've come from. You know, I never ever thought that world would be open up to me. And, you know, this whole thing about inclusion, it's probably a really good segue into what sponsorship is about for me because, you know, when I wasn't sponsored and just going to Al-Anon in meetings, I just didn't feel a part of, I wasn't included in Al-Anon because I never really stepped in. And, I'd spent, you know, quite a few years, probably about, I think it was about 2 years in the rooms and, without sponsorship with looking at the, you know, the stuff on the walls and I couldn't really read any of the slogans. I definitely couldn't read the steps. They were just a whole bunch of black letters for me. Couldn't comprehend them. Yeah, I would read it out and had no comprehension of them whatsoever. And I got a bit of relief from every one of those meetings that I went to for sure. And it started to open up a whole new world for me, but it wasn't enough. I got sicker in the rooms and, you know, I was desperately trying to find out how people do the steps. Like, well, what is it that you do in this program? Cause they were all just, they were sharing, they were beautiful shares, but what do you do? Like, what does all that stuff mean? And I didn't realize at the time that what sits behind it is, that's just an abbreviated form of what this whole program's about. It's very abbreviated, the steps, and there's a whole instruction manual behind it. And, you know, I can't possibly expect to go in there and understand it. Well, I couldn't. I definitely had that experience that I couldn't understand it by myself. So I might just go back a little bit before that, in terms of how I came to Al-Anon, and just give you a little bit of background and context that back in my 20s, probably only when I was just 20 years old, the guy who I was going out with, he was going through rehab and hospital and all the rest of it, and had a problem with drinking. And suddenly out of the blue, these two guys turned up, and they're sort of wearing, you know, they look like guys who wouldn't normally wear suits, but they were wearing suits, and they came to the house, and they, you know, brought this book to me, and they said, look, you know, read this chapter in this book. It was a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a big blue book. And they said, read the chapter to the wives, to the wives. You know, I was thinking, why are they here? And where do they come from? You know, it's like, pop, they just landed in the house. I don't really understand how they came to be. Apart from now, I can just make up that, you know, look, they were doing the 12th step on my partner who was just been through rehab. I couldn't read the chapter. I thought it was a really badly written chapter. I didn't understand it. And it was like, what do I need this for? But anyway, I hung on to the book. So there was a little slither opportunity to go and, you know, start investigating this stuff, you know, in my 20s. But clearly it wasn't the right time for me for whatever reason. And then he went through another rehab down the coast. And whilst I was in the middle of sitting with him in the hospital, another couple of people turned up, and I think it was a counsellor at that stage. They said, well, you know, you need to go to Al-Anon. What's Al-Anon? Okay, they tell me what it's all about. Off I go, not that I understood it. I don't really remember anything more than just spinning on my heels and probably leaving after the first 15 minutes. I mean, after I saw all the Gothic writing and, you know, like cultish kind of looking, those days they had those, the Serenity Prayer and that Gothic kind of writing, and they were sort of held up, and it was in a dingy old room, and, you know, in some hall in the back of some rural region. And I just didn't, you know, it wasn't for me. So fast forward to like 20 years later, and what, you know, where I really broke, like my head virtually broke. I ended up in a mental health hospital in Sydney. It was a private hospital. And again, that was another introduction to 12-step world. And, all the counsellors there were supportive of 12-step. They take you through the first three steps in that rehab. And I was in there with, you know, from my depression and anxiety that I had gone one step further than that. It was, you know, suicidal thoughts. I just wasn't coping and managing at all. And insane rage, yeah, absolutely insane rage. And, you know, they were introducing us to group therapy. And I guess that's the first time I got experience in actually sharing in a group. And got me used to that idea. And they very much stressed and emphasized that after this rehab, you need to go and get a sponsor. You need to go to Al-Anon meetings. You need to go to a variety of other 12-step meetings. And you need to get a sponsor and start doing the program. Somehow I listened to that. I know that I stuck around the outpatient programs at the hospital for a long period of time, for probably another year after I was admitted and had a big 6-week stint there. And it was only just starting to unravel this stuff. And it just really, if anything, it just poured out a whole bunch of emotions that I just didn't even know were there and I couldn't control. And I was still full on into my own self at that stage and blaming the alcoholic. Conflicts, still suicidal, and they were getting worse, the thoughts. I'd resigned myself to a life that I was just going to be in and out of mental hospitals for the rest of my life. I thought, that's it. I'm going to have to keep medical insurance going for it. This is what's going to be my life forever, because I need to keep up that level of medical insurance so I could go, because these facilities, they cost a lot to go to. And I came out of the facility trying to do, I guess some of the counsellors there, the people who I was most drawn to were people who were doing 12-step themselves. And they spoke very, you know, they tried to sponsor us, I guess, as a group. That didn't work for me either. It worked to a certain level. And at the time, that was as much as I knew. And I thought that was as good as it was going to get. But little did I know that sponsorship is something very, very different now and so much more broader than, you know, what I'd ever experienced in just that little, you know, those little tinges of relief that I got in the group therapy. When I went to Al-Anon, it was probably the only program that I stuck with. The other ones I couldn't seem to find a sponsor in at all. When I started to ask, and even some of those Al-Anon meetings when I was asking around about sponsorship, there wasn't too many people who were doing it. And they couldn't tell me how they did the steps. They were usually just doing, you know, 10-step buddies and stuff like that. And I just knew that although those slogans, there was a lot of wisdom and there was a lot of power and energy that I felt when I was in those rooms. But when I'd leave, I was just horrible again, horrible to my partner, couldn't, you know, maintain relationships, still had those suicidal thoughts. And I'd really isolated my life to the point that I couldn't even leave the house anymore. And with that brokenness, I guess, shifted me from, am I going to be like this the rest of my life? Like that, I'd been through so many things of trying to look for a solution. I tried to fix myself in so many ways. And I tried to fix it all from the mental side. I tried to fix it all from this, you know, the physical side. And by that stage, you know, look, I thought, you know, in order for me to learn intimacy, I better do acro yoga, you know, because we get to touch bodies and we get to sort of, you know, support one another and all that sort of stuff. You know, there was another thing that I was even going to try, which was cuddle club. That'll help me with my intimacy, you know, go to cuddle club. I was really desperate. That just goes to show how I was really striving on my own still to find a solution, still seeking something. And, you know, like I've been to, you know, spiritual retreats, you know, silent 10 days retreats and things like that. You know, I was a step away from going to go and see a psychic and all that sort of stuff. Was really desperately trying anything I possibly could, and also spending a lot of money on counseling, which was the bridge that I needed at that stage. By the time I got to only one meeting of Al-Anon per week, it was a very small meeting, and I finally heard someone share in that meeting about how they had found God and the power of that God-shaped, like to have that power, fill that God-shaped hole in them really touched me. I don't know how it was something different. I'd never heard anything like it before, because only just a couple of weeks prior, you know, my partner at the time, we were sleeping in separate beds. There was conflict nonstop. I had to leave very early one morning for, you know, a job, go and jump on a plane to get on a job interstate at that time. And, you know, we'd been blueing all day. I was bawling my eyes out. I'd had to get up at like 3 a.m. to catch this flight. And, you know, he'd come in to try and console me, because he could see that I could not stop sobbing. I got into that stage. I was just so broken emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything, physically. And I was, you know, he came in and I was just weeping, saying to him, do you think that God's left me? Like, is really God there for me at all? And he reassured me and said, no, God's here for you. God's here for you. Anyway, weeks went by. I stuck with the one meeting every so often. And this one that I found out just down the road from where I live, attended that. And I heard this person speaking about filling that God-shaped hole that she, you know, had in her heart all her life. That resonated with me. You know, for all the spiritual and religious kind of experimentation that I'd done previously, tried going to church, whatever it was, it never seemed to work out. And at that moment, I think that absolute defeat, that brokenness in me, that surrender is where I stepped across to, I don't know anymore. And that not knowing anymore was really so desperate, appallingly desperate, that I needed something by that stage. I'd exhausted everything else. And how can I describe it? It's a bit like, as soon as that surrender takes place, I didn't know it at the time, that surrender is when I started to win. Like I started to shift from, it was like dark to like a dark, horrible night that I just couldn't get out of, this nightmare life that I was in, to suddenly there was some sort of glimmer of hope with taking on a sponsor. So I spoke to her for a while, and she suggested some meetings to go to. And, you know, she talked about particular requirements. and a dedication, a commitment to the steps. And, you know, if I'd be willing to sort of set aside everything else that I was doing at the time. And I was like, oh no, I don't know if I could set aside my counselling, because my counselling was keeping me going every week. And that was the only thing that I thought was keeping me going at the time. And, I ran away from it. There was that opportunity. I nearly chucked away sponsorship at that point because I was so worried that I couldn't possibly jump into sponsorship, which is very thin. There hasn't got much substance to it at that stage, with someone who's almost unknown to me in the program, apart from this one magic thing that she said in the meeting. I was like, I got back into myself. I started going around, filtering the idea of, well, what about this person who's talking about only doing the steps? Like, you know, just put aside some other stuff and just concentrate on the steps for this, you know, period of time. And, it took me months to kind of wake up. And it wasn't until I got, into an event where it was an Al-Anon AA event that, my future sponsor at the time, you know, she wasn't my sponsor at that time. She'd suggested going to, because it's incredible the work that my sponsor does and my grand sponsor and great grand sponsor in terms of the energy and the force that they have to help other people. And she invited me to come to this event, and someone talked about prior to the end of the event, like I just got cracked open more and more and more during the shares. And at the end of the, I think it was one of the last speakers there, they said, whatever you do before this weekend ends, if there's someone that's been put in your path who you think could be your sponsor, do not let that person go. Do not leave this event unless you ask them to be your sponsor. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. I've got to do this. And there and then I decided, right, I'm going to break away from all the things that I was trying to do to fix myself, and I'm going to throw myself into this. And I asked my sponsor to sponsor me. She agreed. We got going on the steps. What an incredible world it's been since sponsorship started. And really that is the turning point for me to stop relying on myself. That was my first taste of that. I'd relied on myself to such a point that I'd close my world in. I wasn't open anymore. I was so closed and so layered down, weighted down with thick coats of armor of how I was trying to, you know, look after myself, fix myself. And I just separated myself from everything and everyone. And we get going on the steps, and the first thing she starts to throw me into shortly after doing the steps is service. And it was one of the things that I'd never ever experienced such effortless work before. I can remember being at my job, and it was very, very early doors, and we had to look for a new room for where we were going to, our home group was going to, it was starting to grow. The home group was starting to grow, you know, because people were talking about the solution and how they got to the solution and the steps. And, we needed a bigger room. And, you know, my sponsor had the foresight to, you know, like, we're going to grow out of this room. And I'm thinking, well, I think it's fine. But she's like, oh, who wants to help out with, service? So I put my hand up for it. And I can remember being at my work, and I didn't want to work on my work anymore. I wanted to find the room for the, it was so effortless to scout around for, another room and report back to the group and all the rest. I loved it. I've never ever had that feeling of service before, of being so rewarding. And I was quite dishonest with my job. I must admit, I spent a lot of time doing Al-Anon service, I think, during my work, but I've since made amends for that. So, get to clean that all up, but a great experience in finding out how important service was for me to take the focus off me. Start thinking of the other people, the newcomers in the group, and how we can help those people. And I'd never been introduced to any of those concepts. My only concept of life was my dysfunctional family that were very, very broken and sick, and they only ever thought about themselves, and everyone was in fear and angry. And to have that turnaround and get that exposed to me through sponsorship, just absolutely magnificent. I can even remember when, you know, one of the members had called me early doors, like I was just a broken girl in bed and like trying to do my step four, and was still trying to even access the power of this program, which I don't believe comes to, you know, sort of much later on, but well, that's my big experience of it. And one of the members had called me, and instantly I was transformed from being this miserable mess and can't seem to get out of my head to suddenly being able to share something with another person. And it was the most rewarding thing to be able to speak to another member when they reached out and be trusted. Incredible. So that came early doors. And then we came to a stage where my sponsor said, well, you've got to go out and do service. You've got to help other people. I'm like, oh, I can't possibly do that. And she pointed out to me that it's all you have to be is one step ahead of them. You're only taking them through the same way that you got well. Share honestly what it is that you've done. And you only have to be one step ahead of them. So once you're into four, you can start sponsoring people because they're never going to catch you after that, so to speak. You need to have more experience than them. And I just intellectualized it, analyzed it, and I was still, you know, running so much on my own power. And there was, you know, a few people I got approached by and stuff like that, but it never came to fruition for whatever reason. And I really think now that, you know, I just didn't have enough God's power. I was more Evie's power then. I still had too much of self. I was blocked by that. And then it started to change a lot through step nine, definitely. Very, very powerful step nine. And yeah, they were all very powerful with what I got out of them, but, yeah, particularly step nine. And once I got into those steps 10, 11, and 12, particularly 10 and 11, on my review, I remember I was, I was feeling like, geez, I'm just bloody useless. I'm not doing anything. I'm not helping anybody, you know, with the questions that are asked on the review, not the review. And, you know, my sponsor, she's always there pushing me and challenging me much further than I want to go or need or think that I can handle at that time, which is the beauty of this agreement, that I'm always challenged by where it is that she, you know, throws me next. And I don't think that that's her power. I think that's the power of the, you know, the spirit of the program coming through her to me, thank goodness. And, you know, started to push me out the door. It's like, well, you can't run on your own power. You need more. You need more than what you've got now. Because as I started to go through certain, the wonderful elated feelings that I just had and the development of myself and the freedom that I got from myself in step nine was starting to diminish. And she said, you need to do service. And that has saved my bacon. It saves my bacon now, particularly in this lockdown where we're very isolated. Well, everyone is, but, you know, where I've felt myself go downhill, and it's sponsorship that, has really saved the day for me. It's been the most rewarding experience that I can definitely have. And it's not like it pays you in monetary value. It pays you in some sort of rich, rewarding value that, you know, to hear someone step five or to be trusted by somebody, not even if you're taking through the steps, just even that initial reach out call that they've done and they've been so frightened. They've not reached out to anyone before, but they've reached out to you and somehow trusted you and spoken to you about it. And they may never call again, but that's okay. You know, for that moment in time, I was able to be there for them and share something about my horrific past that might help them, which is beautiful to know that despite what has happened in my life, and I have a lot of shame about where, you know, my behavior and my handicaps that I do have and those shortcomings, that none of that's in vain. None of that has gone in vain. Any of that, what I've done in the past, it has been some way useful to someone else through sponsorship. And I would have never experienced that unless, again, I was, you know, pushed along by my sponsor and included in these events, included in this family, in this new way of life, because it's such an isolating disease for me. And, you know, I feel the safest when I'm on my own, but I feel the most horrible in that. And, you know, I'm pushed out the door. Like I remember, my sponsor was talking about, she turned up to the meeting and it was before I'd asked her to sponsor me. And she was talking about that they'd just been, she was really tired. And I said, oh, what's caused the tiredness? And she said she'd been away on a weekend, a girls talk weekend up in Sydney. And, they'd all gone away in a bus together or, you know, a van together that they hired, and they just laughed and joked and carried on. But she was very tired as a result of it. And I remember thinking, like, I wonder if that could happen for me. You know, like, I would love that, to be able to travel with a group of girls. We talk about God. We talk about spirituality, the stuff that seems to just really fill my soul. And, yeah, it fills me like in no other way, that I just seem to be awake and I can't get enough of it once I hear it. And, yeah, just dreaming about that, I thought, wow, that's incredible that she's got that in her life. And then as soon as I met her and asked her to sponsor me, she pushed this stuff. Like, we've got an event, come along. And then sure enough, we go in the Al-Anon fun bus, we call it. We hire a vehicle, we jump in the plane, we go down to an event somewhere else in Australia or whatever it may be, or even up the road to Gympie and go into a roundup there. And we laugh and we have fun. And it's just an unstoppable force when you get a group of, people in 12-step program who are, you know, wanting to stay in God's spirit and love, and are very energized. They're just, yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. And doesn't matter what happens. We just have a great time and laugh along. And, you know, I get to be included in that stuff. And that's, you know, the wonderful byproduct of this. But first and foremost, I get to learn how to be loving and kind and honest in my relationships. And that's one thing that sponsorship is definitely developing in me further now with, you know, as I sponsor people, I've got to tell them honestly what I think. That's new for me because, you know, I want them to like me. You know, I don't want them to reject me even as a sponsor. So that's very, very confronting. And I want to take care of what their feelings are. And I want to, it's horrific watching someone go through a difficult experience, you know? And I'm always challenged by that again. There's more growth. And I think it's probably the most honest, pure, well, the first relationship that was honest and pure and true intimacy with someone that, there's that level of real attachment and real love for them and kindness for them. And I, you know, I'm so glad I've got a sponsor who is sponsored and sponsored up the chain. So there's help because I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the same experiences as what the people that I'm talking to have. And I can refer to somebody and get help again. And that's the whole crux of this program. I need help. I needed help to have God's spirit in my life to live my life because my life was so broken by that stage. And sponsorship has been the avenue for me to obtain that. I didn't have it before. I didn't know how to obtain it. It continues to reveal itself all the time, how to get hold of it, but I need to step in and I need to pick up the phone. I need to ask for help. I need to stay close to the program, follow the disciplines of it. And I'm good when I stay on and I waver off a little bit and I start to, you know, take the reins back myself and get myself into a few spots of bother, and they're great opportunities for growth. Those areas with myself where I get stuck, and yeah, I get to see the nature of where I can, the nature of my wrongs, I guess, you know, get to the heart of it there and continue to learn and grow and develop and have some sort of purpose or meaning in my life. Like sponsorship is really, it's really beautiful to be, belong to someone and have the respect and discipline to honor that person, the time that they give you. Like I was always flawed. Is that a little time warning that I can hear yeah. back?
Yeah.
And time up?
Yeah, you did great.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Stevie. Thanks for sharing from Melbourne.